Now, when Jesus spoke, his followers made sure to listen. He told them not to fear because God the Father was giving them his kingdom. He also told them to sell their possessions and give to the needy, but also providing for themselves. He also cautioned them to be ready for when he returns. Being ready means needing to be dressed and available for action. At least that's the way it was in the first century. Last week, many of you know, Marilyn and I drove to New York and back for my sister and brother-in-law's 50th wedding anniversary. And I was very blessed to officiate the reaffirmation of their marriage vows. Now, can you imagine getting to I-95 without a map or a GPS in today's day and age? It would be kind of tough, especially as you're traveling north and you're told that there's a detour. And you'd like to know where you are as you're following this detour around Florence, South Carolina. We were taken so far out of our way. But we're sitting there saying, well, okay, they know, they mapped out the detour, so we did what we needed to. But could you imagine what an adventure it would be without the necessary tools to continue traveling? Well, thank God we made it. We made it to New York, and it was a little later than we planned, but all went as we had hoped, and a great reunion with our family and friends. And it was great to see our grandkids. Teresa and Andrew came over from Pennsylvania, so we got to have some grandkid time. That was excellent. You know, sometimes you realize that the enemy's trying to throw things at you to try to thwart you from achieving what you had planned and what you had hoped for. And he throws everything at you. See, last Sunday morning, we set out about 8 a.m. to head home. Well, we had to because we had to drive all the way straight through because Marilyn had to report to First Academy on Monday morning, first thing. I started driving, and I figured, okay, I'll drive till around 1 o'clock. So we switched, and around Washington, D.C., everything went whoa, and we crawled for 3 hours at about 5 miles an hour. It was brutal. And then came the pouring rains. So we finally made it past Richmond, and suddenly, for no reason whatsoever, traffic picks up. It's like, there's no accidents, there's no nothing. But we got there, and all in all, Satan's attempts to thwart us on the way caused us to get in to Douglas and pull in our driveway at 2:30 on Monday morning. So we made it, thank God, and we praised him and laughed all the way. What else are you going to do? You know, what are you going to do, get angry? At who? For what? So you just have to say, okay. You see, there's a battle going on, and we've got to be ready and equipped to handle it. The Lord, through the Apostle Paul, in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 13 to 17, instructs us to put on the full armor of God. So when that day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you've done everything, to stand. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Yes, even on I-95. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of spirit, which is the word of God. See, God has already given us his spiritual armor. And our job is to be aware of the equipment he's provided for us and to ask him to dress us in it each and every day. The truth is, Satan wants to destroy us. So we've got to be focused on the battle and not let our passion fade. Jesus' second instruction is for us to wait patiently for him to return. He is coming back. He said so. God's timing is something that is hard for most of us to understand, and even harder for some to wait and accept, like those 3 hours on I-95 going so slow. Prayer is how we can learn to accept God's plan and fight the enemy's attempts to cause us delay. We're all faced with situations in our lives that we want instant results. We're in an instant society, instant answers. But God doesn't work that way. Every prayer, as I mentioned 2 weeks ago, is answered by him. He's listening, always. When we're impatient and we try to force God's hand, we run into some major disappointments. We heard all about Abram today, the faithful friend of God. In today's Old Testament reading from Genesis, which was read beautifully this morning, we read where God made a covenant with Abraham. In the covenant, God promised Abram and Sarai an heir. He told Abram, "Look up at the heavens and count the stars. If indeed you can count them," then he said to him, "so shall your offspring be." Later, Abram and Sarai were impatient and couldn't wait for God to bless them. So they took things into their own hands and used Hagar, the Egyptian maidservant of Sarai, as a surrogate. Ishmael was born, but he was not the one God promised. God then changed Abram to Abraham and Sarai to Sarah as a sign that God was in the midst of all this. See, Abram means high father, and God changed it to Abraham, which means father of a multitude. See, God promised, and so it would happen. Sarai means my princess, but Sarah means mother of nations. God was laying out his plan for his family to grow in his timing. When Abraham was 99 years old, in God's timing, not Abraham's, Isaac, the promised heir, would be born. And from his family line would come the nations of Israel. The children of Ishmael, the Ishmaelites, would later be at odds with the Israelites, and they still are today. And you're probably saying, how's that? I don't know how that's happening. You see, you have the Israelites in the land, and you have the Ishmaelites who are claiming the land for themselves. Oh, they take many names, Arabs, Palestinians, but really, who does it belong to? Ultimately, it's God's, and God gave it to Israel. Jesus' final instruction to us in this week's gospel reading is for us to keep watching. To watch means to stay awake intentionally. The act of keeping awake is to guard, protect, and to attend, and at a state of alert and continuous attention. Jesus is not telling us to stay up late and over-caffeinate ourselves until the dawn, or to somehow defy the physical limitations that have been put upon our bodies. Instead, Jesus is telling us to stand guard, to protect the faith once given to us, and to let nothing dilute the power of the Word of God. We're not to allow God's intentions for his people to be changed. No, it's not our job. There's nothing in the Bible that is erasable or changeable. And to not modify or seek new and profound interpretations of the Holy Bible that are more suitable to any particular lifestyle or culture. While on our watch, we have to be ready to defend against those who find Jesus as something other than the Holy Son of God. We have been given such a rich treasure, God's holy word, both written and incarnate in Jesus himself. Is your heart all about this treasure or the treasures of this world? the treasure of this culture? Are we good stewards of everything that God has given us, especially His Word and the heritage that goes with it? Or are we so in love with this world and the things of it that we become so preoccupied with everything that surrounds us that we would not be ready when Jesus comes again? We can't tell Jesus, just hold on, we're not ready. Just can you wait another year or two? We're not ready. It doesn't work that way. Jesus said in Luke chapter 12, verse 40, "You must also be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect Him." In Matthew chapter 24, verse 36, He also said this, "No one knows about the day or hour, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father." In 1970, how many people here remember 1970? Not the kids, but yeah, that's right, Carol. I remember 1970. It was a good year. There was a song that was made famous by a band called Pacific Gas and Electric. Now you're probably saying, do I remember that song? Drew remembers it. Yeah, it was a song, and the band, they went all the way to number 14 on the Billboard Hot 100. The song was called "Are You Ready?" Now, what's crazy is that in 1970, people heard this song and loved it, but they didn't have a clue what it was about. I want you to hear the words. See if you can catch what it's about. Are you ready to sit by His throne? Are you ready not to be alone? Someone's coming to take you home, and if you're ready, then He'll carry you home. Are you ready? I sang that song as I drove in the car back and forth to college, and I didn't know. I mean, I was a good Roman Catholic, but I didn't catch on what that song was about. And now I happen to play a version of that song by a band called DeGarmo and Key from the 80s on my Christian radio show. People have been listening to that song and grooving to it, never realizing that it was about Jesus. Why? Because they didn't mention His name. Someone's coming. Wow. It was the second coming right there on the radio. A subtle invitation that may or may not have been heard. All we can do is respond to Jesus' words. Be on your guard. Prepare each day in grateful obedience with the intention that today could be the day and now could be the hour. Think about Jesus' three instructions that He gave in today's Holy Gospel. So let me ask you, are you ready? Are you prepared for the next thing that Jesus has for you and for His return? And lastly, are you ready, willing, and able? Someone's coming to take you home, and if you're ready, then He'll carry you home. Are you ready? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.